needs fire to flower, sprouts from bulbs that may have lain dormant, deep crimson streaks on pale flesh, turns black after flowering, as if charred. In the weatherboard house at the end of the lane, 9-year-old Alice Hart sat at her desk by the window and dreamed of ways to set her father on fire. In front of her, on the eucalyptus desk her father built, a library book lay open. It was filled with stories collected from around the world about the myths of fire. Although a northeasterly blew in from the Pacific, full of brine, Alice could smell smoke, earth, and burning feathers. She read, whispering aloud, "The phoenix bird is immersed into fire, to be consumed by the flames, to burn to ashes and rise renewed, remade, reformed. The same, but altogether different." Alice hovered a fingertip over an illustration of the phoenix rising, its silver-white feathers glowing, its wings outstretched, and its head thrown back to crow. She snatched her hand away, as though the licks of golden red-orange flames might singe her skin. The smell of seaweed came through her window in a fresh gust. The chimes in her mother's garden warned of the strengthening wind. Leaning over her desk, Alice closed the window to just a crack. She pushed the book aside, eyeing the illustration as she reached for the plate of toast she'd made hours ago. Biting into a buttered triangle, she chewed the cold toast slowly. What might it be like if her father was consumed by fire? All his monsters burned to ash, leaving the best of him to rise, renewed by flames, remade into the man he sometimes was, the man who made her a desk so she could write stories. Alice shut her eyes, imagining for a moment that the nearby sea she could hear crashing through her window was an ocean of roaring fire. Could she push her father into it, so he was consumed like the phoenix in her book? What if he emerged, shaking his head as if woken from a bad dream, and opened his arms to her?
"G'day, bunny,"
he might say. Or maybe he would just whistle, hands in his pockets and a smile in his eyes. Maybe Alice would never again see his blue eyes turn black with rage, or watch the colour drain from his face, spittle gathering in the corners of his mouth, a foam as white as his pallor. She could focus solely on reading what direction the wind was blowing, or choosing her library books, or writing at her desk. Remade by fire, Alice's father's touch on her mother's pregnant body would always be soft. His hands on Alice always gentle and nurturing. Most of all, he would cradle the baby when it came. And Alice wouldn't lie awake wondering how to protect her family. She shut the book. Its heavy thud reverberated through the wooden desk, which ran the length of her bedroom wall. Her desk faced two large windows that swung open over the garden of maidenhair ferns, staghorns, and butterfly leaf plants her mother tended until nausea got the better of her. Just that morning, she had been in the process of potting kangaroo paw seedlings when she doubled over, hacking into the ferns. Alice was at her desk reading. At the sound of her mother's retching, she scrambled through the window, landing on the fern beds. Unsure of what else to do, she held her mother's hand tightly.
"I'm all right,"
her mother coughed, squeezing Alice's hand before letting go.
"It's just morning sickness, Bun, don't worry."
As she leant her head back to get some air, her pale hair fell away from her face and revealed a new bruise, purple like the sea at dawn, surrounding a split in the tender skin behind her ear. Alice couldn't look away quickly enough.
"Oh, Bun,"
her mother fretted as she hauled herself to her feet.
"I was